get a threefer. Three one-topping pizzas and three drinks for only $14.75. Or a twofer. Two two-topping pizzas and two drinks for only $11.25. Or the Big Fur, which is two 14-inch pizzas, hot and fresh and tasty, for only $13.50.
Call 842-1212. Call us now, Pizza Shuttle.
The News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
It is now time for the Lawrence Business Magazine show, and here is your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you, John. Each week we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Today I'm pleased to have Hugh Carter, one of our current city commissioners, and the VP of External Affairs, Lawrence Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Ann. Good to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I wanted to talk about, to you in particular, because one of the things we want to talk about, you're working on the, as a city commissioner the last 2 years, and then also the chamber. But you also have kind of an interesting perspective, I think, growing up in Lawrence. And I just want to talk a little bit about your history and stuff with Lawrence and kind of how you have evolved, having left Lawrence and then coming back and stuff. So let's talk a little bit about that.
A little history. All right. Well, I was born in Shawnee, but I moved here. We moved here, I think I was one. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in Indian Hills over there near South Junior High.
Okay.
And lived there until graduated high school. Mm-hmm. Went to Broken Arrow grade school, South Junior High, and graduated Lawrence High back when we only had one high school. And I ended up going to play baseball in Kansas City on a scholarship, and I really just went to play baseball. I wasn't really big on school.
At where?
It was Kansas City, Kansas, mm-hmm. Community College.
Their community, okay.
Which was, it was great fun, mm-hmm. because it was a team that was, we had, and I was a catcher, and we had two of the pitchers that were drafted out of high school and just went to play a year to move up in the draft. Mm-hmm. And our first baseman was David Segee, which was a gold glover for, he just retired about 5 years ago, mm-hmm. had a great career. So it was a really good team. I was probably over my head being on the team, but it was great fun. I wasn't a big student, though. And I actually became academically ineligible for for the sophomore year as far as sports went. And that's when I decided to take a pause, grab my dog and my Jeep, and I moved to Lake Tahoe I was going to ski for a winter.
You're going to ski for a living, were
you? Yeah. I was a room service busser at Harrah's Lake Tahoe, uh-huh. the only 5-star, 5-diamond hotel casino in the world at the time. And so that was a great experience, too. It was fun.
Sure.
It was different.
You were young and having fun.
Mm-hmm. From there, I really ended up moving further into the hospitality and into mm-hmm. management in the food and beverage side. And they encouraged me. They had the William F. Harrah College of Hotel Administration at UNLV.
Right. That's
and,
a very good school. I mean, that's a great program at that school.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about UNLV in particular, but that program's really well.
Right. It's got its pockets.
Yeah.
Went there, and in fact, Matt Llewellyn, who owns 23rd Street Brewery here in town, was my roommate at UNLV, so it was quite
Lord.
The college experience.
And you actually got some work done?
We got some work done. We worked hard, and we played hard, you bet. And we worked a lot. We both worked all the way through school, various jobs, and then got back on with Harrah's and in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and ended up, as my career progressed, there were opportunities to move to different places. And my wife and I had gotten married while still in Las Vegas, and we had our first two children there. And then started taking jobs with Harrah's and mm-hmm. other companies that caused us to move to open new properties. So
right.
it was pretty cool. We ended up moving to Bellingham, Washington, Charleston, West Virginia, Dallas, Texas, Denver, Colorado, Ventura, California, somewhere in Omaha, or excuse me, Nebraska. It was Omaha, Nebraska. where else? Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Lot of really cool towns.
Yeah, you got to see a lot of the country that way.
That's right. And then, but ultimately, you know, through life changes, my younger brother passed away about 11 years ago. It was a real wake-up call for me, and I decided I was going to spend less time, do something with a little less time I was working. You know,
That's a very consuming business.
Yeah, seven days a week. And I ended up accepting a position running assisted living communities in Southern California, in Ventura. And so that gave me a little more time with my family, with my boys. and it was good for a couple of years. Ultimately, it wasn't a great fit for me. I had a little concerns about how those businesses work, mm-hmm. And some conflicts I felt. But it was good. It was better time with the family and whatnot. It just wasn't a long-term fit for me. Mm-hmm. So I got into financial advice there in Southern California. And that's when we realized, okay, we can do this from anywhere mm-hmm. without having to change jobs again. We can move or whatever. Where do we want to go? We'd seen a lot of the country, and we decided, now we had three boys, mm-hmm. that it was probably time to come home. Mm-hmm. Lawrence is a great place to raise kids. We'd seen a lot of places and didn't feel like there was much better, and then there was family here. Mm-hmm. So came back, I think we're looking at almost 7 years ago now.
Wow.
Well, 2006. So, 2006. Yeah, 7 years.
So you move back here. Mm-hmm. Dad and mom are really happy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Get home. So that's great. I mean, because and one of the things, too, I think it's interesting because I did not realize that you had worked with senior living and situations. So that kind of ties into one of the things I want to discuss with you, that you work with on, as a city commissioner with the Retiree Action and Center. So let's talk about – I want to talk about that. But let's talk about being a city commissioner because you, growing up in Lawrence – and then I think it's great, actually, to have that perspective of living different places when you and moving back to Lawrence.
Right.
I think that's because you kind of already had a groundwork having grown up here. And now you grew up and your dad was the mayor, correct?
Correct.
Your dad was on the city. So he saw that was a different Lawrence when you were growing up.
Right.
And I would like to talk about the business when your dad was. It was much more of a small town, I think, when your dad was. Was mayor,
you know, it was and it's
literally a smaller town too.
Literally it was, and it's difficult. It's interesting because at the time he was mayor, I'll tell you, first of all, I really don't think I became and got involved in city commission because of that time. Mm-hmm. Because at the time I was just this completely self-absorbed. I don't think I was even a teenager yet. I think I was, you know, I mean, because I want to say it was 70, 80, 81 mm-hmm. range. So I might have become a teen while he was in there, but I don't know what he was doing. I just know he was gone more than ever.
Right.
And when we went anywhere, we couldn't have a conversation because everybody else he was talking to. And so for me, I just saw that as something I didn't really get.
It was kind of an annoying thing for you.
I didn't really get it. It kind of annoyed me. So it's interesting that I wasn't paying attention to anything. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what the heck. Now, I hear stories, and I can remember some vague things that because there were some interesting things that went on. I think we had riots mm-hmm. during that time that were up at the university, and a lot of things where some security got involved with the family, and mm-hmm. you know, you kind of it started getting real at that point. Those kind mm-hmm. of things, but it's vague. Mm-hmm. I wasn't following what was going on or what he was doing, and as a kid, I can't say I had a full appreciation for the sacrifice he made, you know, for his community.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at the same time, now that I've come back.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and decided to get involved. Absolutely. As time went on in these different communities, I did feel like, gosh, if I knew I was going to be here more than a year, more than time to get this place open or this place turned around, whatever mm-hmm. property I was working on, I'd get involved in this community because I have the perspective of my own. And you move and you see different communities mm-hmm. and different issues, and they have strengths and weaknesses. And I see some things I've seen in other communities that would work better here, and ideas. Mm-hmm. But I always knew I couldn't do that because I'd be leaving soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we were here, it was like, okay, this is...
You were settling here.
We're settling.
You knew this is where you were going to stay.
That's right. So, you know, what could I do? Well, I went through Leadership Lawrence. Mm-hmm. I'd run into Sue Hack, who was mayor at the time, and she urged me to do that program. She had worked on my father's campaign back in the day, making buttons, and when she was in junior achievement, I guess. So I did Leadership Lawrence, and Sue... And that whole program just really brought me in. That's what got me. Then the next thing was to get on the board of the Boys and Girls Club
mm-hmm.
of Lawrence, which I'm still doing and passionate about that organization. And then ultimately Sue had asked to appoint me to the Planning Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it really began, I think, is because then I got in and could really see the inner workings and thought after a couple years, there was an election coming up, and I thought, just talk about thankless. The Planning Commission is thankless. I mean, people say the City Commission mm-hmm. is, and you do take a lot of heat and whatnot, but you get plenty of thank yous. Planning Commission, most people don't know what's going on even, but
right.
My last two Planning Commission meetings were 6.5 hours each, and you know, it's lots of angry folks and hard to please people. But at any rate, it was a great learning experience. And I thought, I'm doing all this, spending all this time on it, and I'm part of a 10-person recommending body and don't even have a vote, really. And they'll do whatever they want with the info at the city level.
So as many planning commission, that's a good point to kind of start where government workings, which I don't think, a short amount of time, what exactly does the planning commission do?
Well, planning commission takes a look at any kind of zoning changes, a lot of times development requests. I mean, if it impacts zoning anyway, that's what they do. They also are responsible for ratifying or finalizing our longer range plans, our comprehensive plan.
Right.
That's not zoning, but it's a kind of it's planning, a guess of what type of zoning might go in certain areas.
Okay.
To make sure that we're growing in a way that is actually enhancing the community or adding value to the community versus versus going the other direction. And the interesting dynamic between it and the city commission is it should wear only one hat. And one of the challenges I see, and not picking on our current planning commission, I think it's been the case for a long time, but a lot of ideology is brought into that. And that's also through government by appointments that are made.
Right.
And planning commission has such complex decisions that the unintended consequences I found to be scary. And I mean, I studied and worked hard on it. But a lot of times you might be voting in a way that you think, well, this is kind of what my constituents want. That sounds like it might slow growth in this area or do this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, the opposite can happen because it's more complex than folks think. But what they're to do is to really wear one hat and look at things on a land use basis.
Okay.
Is this an appropriate use of this land? And then the city commission can take their recommendations and know that that was their recommendation and why. And I always ask that they please give good comments as to why they voted how they did, because I read their minutes carefully. And now and again, you'll see a vote that says, for instance, because I just don't think so-and-so should have to do this or whatever. And that's not really if it's not really a land use reason, then I try and factor that out and get down to their land use reasons that they made their decision. City commission can wear a couple different hats then. Then we can take a look and say, okay, we see it's proper use of land, or we see that it's in the planning commission's eyes that it isn't, and why. Mm-hmm. But here are the other things. We need to look at the community as a whole. Mm-hmm. Does the community benefit from this? Does the positive impacts far outweigh any negative, and that sort of thing? And we get to then take and apply common sense and do what we think is right, which is why I really thought, you know what, I want to get on the commission. Because a couple times I'm having to make decisions knowing that I should do the land use thing, but I really want to see this go forward, and I'm saying no to it.
So the planning commission should be providing kind of the action, just basically the facts to a certain extent about how this fits in with the planning, with the land use, and kind of the averages and all that sort of things that they're dealing with, and then the commission can provide the political and as well as like the kind of the social factors to those. That information.
And financial, it can do to the economy. And it's interesting, from the Planning Commission standpoint, I think sometimes it's, it can become more philosophical than it should be. And for instance, right now, we're dealing with a development code that was written at a time shortly after this Walmart brawl had happened in Lawrence. I wasn't here, thankfully, for that. But I came and saw some of the after effects, which was, they got a PLC, I believe was the name of the group, that then kind of ran together to get into City Hall, and then we rewrote our development code. And we wrote a development code that's a 12-headed monster.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the goal was slow down this development stuff, which, you know, I can understand that sentiment from whoever was feeling that way, because things were flying at the time. And Walmart really polarized it.
Yeah.
But this is where I'm talking about unintended consequences, is if you're wanting to write a code in such a way to where you can slow this down so that the Walmarts and frankly, you know, the Fritzels, the Comptons, those big developers would have to slow down here. The problem is the idea then was that we would grow organically, small businesses, our downtown, et cetera.
Right.
That would be, but you write a code like that and guess who is the only person who can actually afford the lawyers, the expense, the time to navigate through your code, this monster that you've written. It's your Walmart. It's mm-hmm. your big developers. Our code is written in a way that, again, it's the unintended consequences. The ideology is one thing, and I think it had some merit, but it's killed small business for us. We've got to fix that.
That makes sense. And I'm coming back and talk about a little bit more about the small business growth and other things with Hugh Carter here after the break.
On the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. Here is a look at your forecast.
Morning low is 30. We're mostly cloudy this afternoon. Northwest winds gusting to 29. Not much temperature change. High of 36. Partly cloudy 24 tonight. Slight chance of midday flurries tomorrow, 33. Partly cloudy 19 tomorrow night. Saturday, mostly sunny, 38. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Chow Weatherby.
Hi, this is Chris Maynard, sales consultant at Laird Noller Automotive in Lawrence. For a pressure-free, hassle-free car buying experience, come see me at Laird Noller Automotive in Lawrence, Kansas.
For over 100 years, Warren McElwain Mortuary and Cremation Services has been here to serve and care for the families of Lawrence, Eudora, and Johnson County during the greatest time of grief. Warren McElwain Mortuary and Cremation Services understands the difficult decisions that are facing you, and their mission is to fulfill the needs in a responsive, compassionate manner today and tomorrow. Visit warrenmcelwain.com to see a full description of services offered, plan pre-arrangements, obituaries, guest books, and veteran services. Warren McElwain Mortuary and Cremation Services.
Let's see what we're looking for. Techies, nerds, geeks,
dorks, dweebs, goobers, goofballs,
misfits, bookworms,
brains,
screwballs,
poindexters.
Good one. How about gurus?
Ooh, nice. But check this out. Turkeys, twerps, and twits.
At LawrenceTopecaHelpWanted.com, we have dozens, maybe even hundreds of technical job openings for qualified local job seekers listed on our website.
Know-it-alls.
Long-hairs.
Lab rats.
I've been called an oddball.
And me a rocket scientist.
LawrenceTopecaHelpWanted.com.
Long name.
Amazing results.
When Linn Electric started with UNI Computers in 1999, we had three computers built by them. And gradually over the years, now every computer that we have is one that's been built by UNI Computers. We've had the same tech for 6 years. So when he comes into our office, it's like he's just another employee almost. They're very easy to get a hold of. And we have their home numbers, their cell phone numbers, their work numbers. You know, if there's a problem and it's an emergency situation, they're there within a half hour. It's very easy. You develop relationships. I mean, you really do. You know, they're very knowledgeable. When they explain things, they explain them on your level, not on an electrician's level, not on an IT person's level, so you understand what the problem is and what they've fixed.
UNI Computers, just west of Naismith on 23rd Street. Stop by or call them at 841-4611. Find out more about how their small business IT programs can help you. 841-4611. UNI Computers, they're like having the IT department of a big business at the fingertips of your small business.
Excuse me, could you tell me more about this?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Want real answers about lighting? Take your questions to ES Lighting, where experienced, knowledgeable professionals can answer all your lighting questions, provide valuable info, and introduce you to new and exciting ways to light your home. Stop in at 724 Connecticut in Lawrence, online at eslightingshop.com, or at the THBA Home Show March 1st through 3rd at the Expo Center in Topeka. ES Lighting, lighting the way since 1964.
You know you can count on AAA when your car breaks down, but did you know that AAA is a great choice for auto insurance too? You get superb coverage, great rates, and a friendly local agent who can tell you just how much you'll save. But most of all, you get coverage you can trust. And isn't that what insurance is all about?
I know I can trust AAA insurance.
You can trust them emphatically. They're always there when you need them.
No matter where I'm at, what I'm doing, I can trust AAA.
When you need to have some support, you need to have that help, AAA comes through every time.
With AAA, you can save a bundle when you combine insurance for your car, your home, and your family. And AAA members will save even more. Call your local AAA agent or get a free quote in minutes at AAA.com. Switch your coverage to AAA today for insurance you can trust.
The insurance that I have right now with AAA insurance, I'm totally satisfied.
I am super happy with AAA insurance.
All insurance products sold through AAA Allied Insurance Services Incorporated. Discounts vary by state and by policy.
Looking good and feeling great has never been easier. Right now at The Tan Company, new customers can tan for a week for only $4. Their new Mass Street location downtown is really close with the best parking on Mass from our rear entrance. The Tan Company is always super clean and the staff really knows their stuff. Ask for your coupon good for a week of tanning for just $4 now at The Tan Company. 831 Mass Street downtown and in Overland Park at 137th and Metcalf. The Tan Company, where America tans.
The News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
Let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine show, and once again, Ann Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Hugh Carter, City Commissioner and VP of External Affairs for Lawrence Chamber of Commerce, which is going to be his new job here in about a month and a half when he finishes his City Commissioner days on April 9th, I believe is the correct day.
Right. I've started with the chamber here. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in my third week, but being that I'm still on the City Commission, I think a lot of the government relations work and a lot of things that I will probably be diving into more directly are waiting. So I'm, you know, feeling my way until I'm off the commission.
Well, I understand that, but I also understand one of the things we were talking about before you left is about economic development and the small businesses and small business growth, and we want small businesses to grow. I think as a rule, when you talk to anybody in Lawrence, they say, yes, we want small businesses. But one of the things, as you were saying, you find out with economic development and economic growth, you want small businesses, but we also need some of those bigger businesses to really give us some jobs and to bring in more of the bring in dollars from outside the town, not just circulate those dollars.
You bet.
So, and that's one of the things, as when you ran to be city commissioner, I remember you talking about economic development and being trying to be smart, listening to the other side, and how do we grow our economy and our jobs. So let's talk about what we've done over the last couple of years and the last several years and how you feel like things are going.
Sure. Well, when we talk about small businesses, one of the challenges that we have here is the code. And when I ran, one of the things I was hoping to do was to really get to the bottom of what the reasons are, what the headwinds are, because, you know, just hearing we're business unfriendly, the more I looked into things, the more I realized, a lot of folks are trying to do the right thing here at the city and within the chamber. And so what's systemically is it that's it's in our way? And it was a couple things. I do think that the chamber in the past has not been as focused as it could be. I think also on economic development, on job growth. But also they've had to, anytime they go to look at deals, they've had to look to a city commission, and they have no idea what incentives, what could possibly be approved, where their competition is flying out and offering packages or saying, come visit Lawrence. And eventually we'll get through and see if they'll approve doing an incentive of any kind for you. And so that's how you get to where, I don't know, it's been 10 years since we've had any real significant job success to say we moved X jobs here to Lawrence. And yet we have all these great things going for us. So it came down to, I think the code itself is a real challenge. I've been critical of our planning and development department and have dove in for the last 2 years very, very closely into that area, because coming from the planning commission, it was just a natural for me. And, I feel like there's no question that we can improve on our services, and we're adding and making changes and continuing right now to make changes within that department that I think will really improve things. But there are always going to be a challenge until we address this code. Because, like I said, we went through a process for them to come up with the top 10 code revisions that would make things easier on a small business and less expensive. They're in the process of that, but there's many, many more than 10 that are impacting small businesses.
So in the 2 years, you've exposed the code, but you really haven't. Nothing's really changed.
I feel like some changes are in motion. But I guess what I'm saying is the big one is the code will need to be rewritten. The long range plan, Horizon 2020, is outdated as well. And we need 2040 to be underway, or 2050. But the bigger thing is the code itself.
Now that was written. You said, I don't know when it was, the Walmart thing. That was about, was that, what was that written about 10 years ago then?
I believe it was 06.
Okay.
It was not that long ago. Because I remember actually Scott McCullough, our planning director, had come on shortly before I came on to the planning commission. And he and I were having a discussion once. It was right after I'd been on planning commission a while. And I was like, help me understand, this code is so darn difficult, and we're interpreting it in such a way that I think makes it even more difficult. And he was like, well, this community, I came here just a year after you approved this code, which was, and he went through and explained all of the public forums and all of the input and everything that went through putting this thing together. And so I'm embracing this code. And I thought, you know, that's interesting. Of course he is. But what he doesn't realize is that, frankly, I think that that was written at a kind of a short spot of time.
So you feel like the code was more reactionary than forththinking.
Right.
Than being future, planning for the future is just reactionary to what was happening right there at that time and dealing with that situation.
I really think so. And then you bring in a new director who has a new code that's just gone through this public process and is feeling like, hey, this is what I'm brought here for, is this
to enforce this code or to make this code.
Yeah. I mean, and technically that's their job, but it's also to help people navigate a code.
Yeah.
And to also look, and when something doesn't make sense, to come with the code revisions that need to be made to make it make sense. Because we need small businesses to be comfortable coming to Lawrence. We need small businesses to be able to stay in Lawrence and grow. And so we're now to a point, it really exacerbates things because you know, Avastin, they've gone through and identified it's an awful lot of revisions, and yet it really has a long way to go. And these revisions take quite a bit of time. I just think we need to go through. Nobody wants to rubber stamp. I mean, on Planning Commission, I had a record for, I think it would show that, you know, I'm not someone to rubber stamp growth. I mean, it needs to make sense. I'm going to be here a long time, and I want to be proud of every decision I made. But we really can't get out of our own way. And we've learned it recently. It's really helped as well when we've gone and done large projects. We bought farmland, and we're going through major, you know, we're putting in infrastructure now and grading and getting ready to have people drive around and look at plots, and just like developers do. Rock Chalk Park, we're going through over the past year, development of a major project here. And we're trying to navigate our own code. And let me tell you, city staff understands better than ever right now that our code is something that's very much in the way of attracting businesses. Because I know of way too many examples of small businesses who've tried to come here and just had to walk away when it's $60,000 worth of surveys, et cetera, before I even started renovating this little bitty building that used to be a gas station. And all I wanted to do was sell monuments at it or make it a little coffee shop.
Right.
You can't possibly, you know, who can afford that?
Sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Just doesn't make sense.
So we need to find what doesn't make sense, fix it, or just start over.
Well, and that's something, too, when you're talking about the code. So the code for just the regulations for building here, too. But then when you were talking about bringing some of these bigger businesses that can actually afford the red tape to a certain extent. But then they don't come here because of incentives, or we don't have the plats and all that stuff, which I know that farmland's helping address that, and there's some things. But one of the things they talk about is incentives. Let's talk about incentives and why it's important to be able to give incentives, because I think people just think you're giving away the farm.
Right.
What's that? So let's talk about incentives here.
Well, there's a happy medium, and I think it goes kind of deal by deal and the type of jobs. And frankly, I think there's a number of factors as to why it hasn't really worked for us. And that is, we haven't had a lot of, I think, the best type of jobs. And those are primary jobs. You had mentioned earlier, larger companies would have a bigger impact. But it's not necessarily the size of the company as much as the fact that a primary job is a job that is not reliant on our local economy to pay its wage. It's manufacturing, let's say. Obviously, those jobs come to town, add to our tax base, create new jobs, and they don't take from, none of us come out of our pocket to buy that, you know, most, we're such
we're
a
selling,
service.
We're selling these products outside of our community, so the money's coming into our community.
All new dollars to our economy, versus we're very much a service-oriented economy here in Lawrence, which is two things. One, it's just moving the money around from our pocket to this pocket, et cetera, for their services that are provided here locally. And anyway,
the university is the only, this is the main supplier than of primary jobs.
It really is. And so when it comes to incentives, it's also been interesting that we, you know, you can give better incentives and feel better about it for a primary job. And it's been too long since we've had a candidate bringing those type of things, but you have to be able to compete with what's out there. And I think that there are better incentives than even a lot that we've kind of battled over. You know, the tax incentives and tax abatements. Frankly, I think, you know, for primary jobs, we need to be in a place where our incentives could be based on training and training credits. That's very important to businesses.
And it could be that, for instance, and I know the chamber is getting ready to start their capital campaign. It's going to look much different than what people have seen here in the past, where the EDC, the Economic Development Council, will be raising funds over the next few years, to where rather than having public simply do all of the incenting, that we actually mm-hmm. have something to work with, which is something that I've advocated for mm-hmm. 2 years. Go to PICA. Really isn't the same model because they have a tax.
Yeah, they have a sales tax, right? That goes straight towards that.
And I've always felt like we need to go that route at some point mm-hmm. To really be competitive. But in the meantime, the chamber is stepping up, and that's why I was saying that certain things are changing. Those mm-hmm. This is an example that's very real as far as stepping up and starting to build that to where we can help with to supplement what the city might do. City might offer training credits. However, we've never had a real technical training college of any significance here. And I shouldn't say none. Of course, we have Pinnacle, but something with machine technology and various things that manufacturers would like to see. this school bond that's out right now mm-hmm. includes about $6 million to start the campus of a new technology training center that would be a collaboration of several of the community colleges in the area.
And I find that really interesting. Now has a place been designated for this technical college? I mean, how far is this gone along, or is this kind of like imaginary money to me? And how far is this?
Well, I'll tell you, I just went through the presentation. Rick Dole has done, I want to say he's at about 34 presentations now on this, and he did one yesterday afternoon that I sat through. So, I know that in his mind, because they own the land there at Holcomb, mm-hmm. and there is a significant amount of acreage there on the west side of Holcomb. Uh-huh. And it is centrally located, so that from between the two high schools, that's another good reason for that location. That's where they're eyeing right now.
Okay.
And his goal, or at least right now his vision, is that at least a 30,000 square foot technical college, and the idea is that there's room for expansion to do 180,000 or bigger. I mean, a significant campus there. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need, and that's what I think can actually happen, because there are other things. And of course, what Superintendent Dole is looking at is the dollars that he's got to work with.
Mm-hmm.
He feels comfortable if that bond passes, that with what he's got to work with, that's what can happen. And outside of that, there's some other things that I think could definitely come into play through discussions with the presidents. Greg Williams, the CEO of the chamber, has had discussions with presidents of these other universities that have made it clear they're ready to step in with real dollars for bricks and mortar. So, and then even federal programs that we've been in discussions about that are talking 7-8 figures worth of grants, not loans mm-hmm. or low interest loans, but grants to do technical training. So bricks and mortar.
So for advanced training and things like that, continuing education, that sort of thing, for retraining of people for jobs and stuff.
Right. We need to stay away. I don't know. Continuing ed might sound a little too much like your bottom line is for Kansas University has approved this too, which is huge,
mm-hmm.
But it needs to stay into the technical training arena. So you can't have an English class there. Continuing ed of certain things, but it's tech. And, that's the biggest missing thing, too. When mm-hmm. companies look to move in here, that's the one that's holding us up on those primary jobs, because they're looking for...
And I want to talk a little bit more about this when we come back, about the technical training, the incentives, and some other things that you're doing now at the City Commission.
This is the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
Morning low is 30. We're mostly cloudy this afternoon. Northwest winds gusting to 29. Not much temperature change. High of 36. Partly cloudy 24 tonight. Slight chance of midday flurries tomorrow, 33, partly cloudy, 19 tomorrow night. Saturday, mostly sunny, 38. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John Weatherby.
Dale Willie Chevrolet in Lawrence is the best place to buy a Chevy truck. And now they've made it even better. For a limited time, you can drive away in a brand new 2013 Silverado with up to $10,000 off. 2013 Silverado starting at $17,995. Dale Willie Chevrolet also has the lowest price on new Chevrolets in the area, with 0% financing available. Dale Willie Chevrolet has a huge selection of fuel-efficient Chevrolets, many exceeding 35 mpg. Dale Willie Chevrolet on South Iowa in Lawrence, and Dale Willie Auto.com.
Your new home is waiting at one of the Cherry Hill properties. It's all about your lifestyle at Cherry Hill Properties. From a studio with utilities to a four-bedroom home, Cherry Hill Properties has you covered. Imagine living right next to campus, the golf course, or biking and hiking trails. Enjoy fitness centers and pools, free cable, Wi-Fi, a washer and dryer. No matter what your lifestyle, Cherry Hill Properties fit you and your budget. Call 785-841-5444. Cherry Hill Properties, we have Lawrence covered.
You have worked hard to earn the money to provide for your future. You need an investment advisor who works hard to make sure you keep it and make it grow. More and more people like you choose the Douglas County Bank Trust Department as an independent investment manager for their portfolios of cash, stocks, bonds, and mutual funds held in various accounts, including IRAs. Mike Davies, Michael Carlisle, and Deborah Barnhart use investment sources and products with top performance and competitive low fees to meet your goals. Douglas County Bank, investing in our community, one customer at a time.
All aboard the Kansas Bell Dinner Train as you depart the Baldwin City Depot on your afternoon or evening journey. Ride and dine in the 1940s era cars with big band music, formal dining, and optional live entertainment formats, including the popular murder mystery plays. Contact the Kansas Bell for details by calling 1-800-942-7245. That's 1-800-942-RAIL. Or visit us online at kansasbell.com. Kansas, B-E-L-L-E.com.
When she didn't answer the door, he went around the back and kicked open their back door.
Deadly home invasion in a part of the state that's relatively quiet.
We hear it in the news every night, but what can a woman do to protect herself? Introducing She's a Pistol, a woman-owned personal protection and self-defense training company right here in Shawnee. Learn the correct way to protect yourself and the ones you care about. She's a Pistol with a full line of firearms, personal protection items, and the trained staff to teach you and match you to your personal protection needs. She's a Pistol is here for you. Call 866-998-5223.
Hi, my name is Jason Gabori, owner of Green Globe Insulation. I'd like to talk to you about saving some money on your energy bills. We offer blow-in and spray foam insulation for your home, metal building, shop, or barn. Our insulation will not only add comfort, but can strengthen your structure and prevent moisture problems. Let my team of professionals at Green Globe Insulation protect your greatest investment and make your home or building more cost-effective. Give me a call at 785-330-5000 for a free estimate. That's 785-330-5000.
Are you looking for more value in your retirement living options? At Lawrence Presbyterian Manor, we understand the need to stretch your retirement dollars. That's why, for a limited time, we're offering special savings in independent living apartments. So if you have questions about retirement living or how to get more for less, just ask. Together, we'll find the answers. Visit us online at justaskpresbyterianmanors.com or call 841-4262 today.
The news and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
944, 1320 KLWN. Let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine show. Once again, Anne Frame Herzog.
I'm joined with Hugh Carter, City Commissioner and VP of External Affairs at the Lawrence Chamber of Commerce. And I just want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly and available at the local Hy-Vee, the Merck, and other convenient merchants around town. And you can also pick up a copy of the business magazine in front of Milton's, well, formerly Milton's, Eldridge downtown. It's also available online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. And please follow us on Facebook, where you can find out updates and information on the radio show and the magazine. But in our effort to encourage an open dialogue, we ask that you put your name on it. So,
did you mention Natural Grocers? Because you got a stack there every time.
Oh, Natural Grocers. I have to add them to my list. You have a little personal interest in that.
I do. The mother of my children runs it.
Oh, well, speaking of spouse, my husband's birthday is today. So happy birthday, Steve.
Hey, Steve. Happy birthday.
So we're celebrating his birthday, we were talking here a little bit about your technical training. That wasn't a very good transition, but we were talking about technical training and how important that is to bringing in businesses here in Lawrence, and I also want to talk a little bit about incentives. But the technical training you're talking about, building the center so that you can really teach some other skills that you can't get at, that the university doesn't teach, that you don't get at the high school, where you're getting great education, but these are adding other skills.
You bet. And it is amazing the interest level, from Kent City, Kansas, Johnson County, Neosho County. There's probably 10 interested in providing programs here, And we're looking and hoping to do it all in one campus. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think we could see it significantly larger than what Superintendent Dole envisions right now. Mm-hmm. But that's because these others could bring in dollars. And if they do, it was a great conversation with Mr. Dole yesterday, because of course, it's not that he's thinking small. He's thinking of, if this bond passes, here's what I can do myself. Mm-hmm. And now the chamber and others are stepping in together, and what can we all do together? It's a very exciting thing, because there's interest out there, and everybody knows the need in Lawrence. It's such an underserved community. And it's not just about getting our folks ready to go out and get jobs, even if they needed to move elsewhere to get them. It's about having a workforce here. Or if a company comes in and has a specialty, we need to have a technical training facility nearby where we could say, we can have that class offered and have these people ready, X number of people ready and trained, mm-hmm. within a year or within 9 months or whatever it may be. And those are opportunities now that we're not able to have that conversation, and we're losing jobs to places that can. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, and I think that's what I think is great, too, is when they talk about jobs, and we talked about this last week, too, is that when you're talking about growing jobs, and that it's not just about bringing more people into Lawrence, it's about bringing more jobs into the Lawrence, so that Lawrence people that are living here and providing employment aren't leaving town to go work.
That's right.
Which is what a lot of them are doing now. They're going outside and they're taking their wages, they're getting paid, their employment taxes, everything else is going outside of Lawrence instead of staying here.
That's right. There's really three main metrics, I think, that would gauge success of economic development. And, you know, that's something that I think the chamber is now embracing, and that is to have good measurable metrics of, are we succeeding, versus, mm-hmm. here's all the things we're doing,
right.
to try and create something.
Okay.
But, mm-hmm. but really, what are we? And that's capital investment. You know, is that growing in our community, and how fast? Jobs, job growth, certainly is a big one. But also income, average incomes. You look at a study and Manhattan, Kansas, for instance, the median income is $10,000 higher than Lawrence, Kansas.
Wow.
I mean, we're the lowest in our peer group, but it's beyond low. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that, for me, I'm really jazzed about. I was a little concerned when I wasn't going to run for commission again. How's mm-hmm. that going to go over? You know, there's so many things, especially from an economic development standpoint, that I see us on the verge of a great period of time here, a boom. I mm-hmm. really do.
And let's talk about that, because we talked about a little bit that off the air, about you really feel like things are there's some things that are just kind of percolating, we're kind of ready to explode. What why is that?
Well, just, you know, a few things that are huge. The completion of the South Lawrence Traffic Way, and combining that with the fact that the city bought and is now getting in the infrastructure and preparing farmland. Mm-hmm. Great industrial space adjacent to East Hills Business Park. East Hills has a couple spaces as well. But when we talk about primary jobs, manufacturing, things that are going to have a significant positive impact on the community, on jobs and personal incomes, as well as diversifying and lowering that tax burden, that's really going to happen. I mean, farmland would have been great to have that either way. But once you complete the SLT, it opens that up dramatically, because you have direct access to a major highway from this potential manufacturing site. Whereas before, it as good a site as that might be for industrial, and it's all it would be from, you know, what it once was, and we've cleaned it up too, which is great, but that's an industrial site. But if you're not off to a major highway, you really limit. If you got products that would be shipped all over the country, they're going to build on a major highway. Mm-hmm. And obviously anything that's primary jobs that's going to be shipping their projects all over the country needs to be on a major highway. We don't have much of that. We did look in the East Lawrence northeast sector mm-hmm. plan, and we ended up eliminating most all of the industrial land in the debate over, you know, Class 1 soils.
Mm-hmm.
That debate has a lot of merit. It does. But, you know, that was stuff right around the highway and rail, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have enough of that. Now we do. We're spending our money and our time in a spot and starting to entertain interested parties in a spot that is fantastic set up for manufacturing, and now it will be adjacent to a major highway.
How big is that farmland piece?
Now that you say, geez, it's huge.
Yeah.
How's that?
Seems big.
Yeah. We've got it right now conceptually, you know, into parcels and mm-hmm. But there is no, I don't think that there is a company out there that right now could come and say, oh, we don't have anything big enough, because we can simply combine parcels. Okay. I mean, we have huge spaces for buildings, and, you know, I could throw out the hundreds of thousands of square feet, but I just don't remember them.
So at Farmland, basically, you're setting up the infrastructure that's being set up right now, so it's kind of parceled out, so you can have different, the roadways, the electric, all the utilities, everything's out there so that companies could come in and just build on that plat. Is that
that's right.
Plat?
So we can actually drive people through here in the next few months, be able mm-hmm. to drive them around, show them the site, let them pick out a spot. And of course, that can all be altered as well. And I don't know if we'll go to the point of spec building. That was one of my kind of platform items, too, was I really felt like it was a great first step on the city's part. But I would love to see some spec commercial building spaces mm-hmm. Or industrial even put up to kind of help things along, because we've had that unpredictability in our planning process right. and incentives, et cetera, to be able to say, yes, we want you here. Yes, in fact, here's a – or even rather mm-hmm. than build it, at least design a mm-hmm. couple different facilities and say, basically, if this is the type of thing that you're wanting, here's the spot. It's really pre-approved. Come in. You can break ground anytime. And those are kind mm-hmm. of discussions that are happening now. So I think we're going to see some of that happen out here at Farmland even. That's just a couple. Of course, the 15th Street Exchange off of the South Lawrence Traffic Way
right.
that will be done, which will be a new gateway to Lawrence, probably the best gateway to Lawrence, mm-hmm. actually. It's going to go straight to KU is another great thing. This Joint Economic Development Council that was formed, mm-hmm. I think, is a good step toward it. One of the things is we've had a lot of battles of different factions or interest groups when it comes to incentives or whatever it may be. And I think the more we can work together in the outset of setting the goals, mm-hmm. which is a lot of what this group does. It's not down in there doing deals, but they're certainly at the 3,000-foot level looking at what we're trying to achieve. And you've got a very diverse group at the table there. So I think that that's another positive step in the right direction. And, of course, like I said, some of the work the Chamber is starting to do to raise private dollars to really help supplement, combining that with the training. And we don't have too much time, but there's a lot of other good things that are happening.
That is great. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, too, which we kind of started at the beginning, which we have been talking about a lot of other interesting things, and I want you to come back and talk more about this with Dennis Domer. I want to talk about a little bit about the retiree attractions, because you, with your past having actually run a facility for people, we're trying to recruit retirees and keep people here in Lawrence.
Right.
Now, why is that an economic development issue? Because, I mean, just having people come live here, I mean, why is that an economic development?
Sure. Well, surprisingly, I've said it was on my platform that it's probably the biggest green economic development opportunity of my lifetime would be the boomers, because their sheer numbers and the wealth that they control. Unfortunately, I don't have statistics stuck in my head, but they are staggering.
Yes.
But I will just throw out, that for each retired couple that comes to town, they create 1.8 manufacturing jobs. I mean, real jobs. The impact is significant. Obviously, their deposits into your local banks.
Now, they create the jobs, or they create the economic benefit of that.
Great point. They create the benefit of that retired couple coming here is the same economic impact as 1.8 manufacturing jobs being created.
Because they spend money in the economy. They spend money, and like you said, the boomers have a huge percent of the wealth in this country.
That's right.
And they are retiring, and a lot of them are wanting to spend that on their
right.
retirement, correct?
Yes, and we use the averages of boomers, mm-hmm. which, of course, is all across the board.
Yeah.
What we're targeting, as you know, from a marketing standpoint, is the easiest for us is the KU alumni,
mm-hmm.
Which is going to be a slightly better average. College graduates who've gone out are going to have a slightly better retirement savings as a whole. So it's not your average retiree probably that we're going to be attracting. I would say we'll do actually better than that.
When you're talking about too, is retirees, people that actually are saying they're retiree, they're going to retire and have the wherewithal to say I can retire, are generally people that are, because some people just can't retire.
Absolutely.
They can't afford it. So
that alone puts them in a good
right.
group. You know, and the senior pays more in taxes than they actually require in services. There's another thing that's healthier for the economy. There are deposits into the local institutions, and you're going to talk about community banking. I think it'd be a great one to talk about is, mm-hmm. let's say our retiree attraction is successful and people are bringing their life savings and mm-hmm. putting them in our banks here. What is the impact of deposits on the community? Because the multiplier effect is huge to the local economy. And of course, they bring their expertise, their volunteerism, and many other things, but the economic impact of doing it right and bringing especially alumni back to the town they have so many great memories in. University mm-hmm. of Florida built a retirement community for alumni. They moved back, and in 7 years, they had almost $20 million in contributions to the university's endowment. So you can imagine what their local arts community is getting, and other nonprofits in town benefit mm-hmm. from that. That kind of giving.
So the University of Florida did this, and I know we've got to wrap up here. We've just got a couple minutes left, but that's one of the things that I really would. You've been working with Dennis Domer on is a kind of a, we're trying to actually plan more of a community area that would work with the university and the city to create an area where you have homes and living that would work better for the retirees. And
right.
But you also say have it as talking about it being intergenerational.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that important?
Well, Dennis Domer's group, the New Cities Initiative at the University of Kansas, has been working on this for several years now, and it was really fortunate in setting up the Retiree Attraction and Retention Task Force that I got to meet Dennis and find that this work was being done here that's cutting edge, and I think it's the next step in Boomer's retiree destinations. Right here in Lawrence, Kansas. The intergenerational aspect is that, you know, the typically in the past when it came to retirees or assisted living or whatever, it was go to Florida or go somewhere and sit in the sun and, you know, with others like yourself and just kind of go off into the sunset in your later years.
Shady Acres, right?
Right, right.
Or Sunny Acres or whatever.
Right. The boomers aren't looking for that. They're looking for meaningful relationships and a meaningful life in their later years. And so coming back and reconnecting with their university town is one that's a big draw, and we've surveyed to find that, wow, KU really has that pull, and we need to leverage that. But having that intergenerational, I mean, not only is it good for the adult, for the senior, but it's great for the child as well. We kind of got the nuclear family thing going to where kids and grandparents, those two generations just don't mix like they once did.
Right.
And it's been proven to keep the older feeling younger, and the benefits on the youth are fantastic as well.
Kind of I think we talked about this one time, kind of like the small town feel, kind of just kind of bringing it for making it work in that kind of environment. Well, I definitely want to talk to you more about that and the economic development. This has been great. Thank you so much for being here, Hugh.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun, and I wish you a lot of luck, and I want to hear in a while a little bit more what you're doing at the Chamber.
Sure.
As you kind of get your feet a little bit wetter there and how that's growing and what you guys are going to be doing over there. To help get our economic development and the job growth. So this has been very – I hope our listeners enjoyed listening to our conversation here. The Lawrence Business Magazine is online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. You can find us every Thursday morning here at 9 a.m. on KLWN, Redefining the Concept of Business.
This is KLWN Lawrence. It is now 9:59. Got a Fox News Radio update for you. That is coming up right at 10 o'clock here. We'll continue next couple hours with John Flood and Friends. Clark Howard Show at 1, Rock Chalk Sports Talk. That begins at 3 this afternoon right here on your home for the Kansas Jayhawks. This is 1320 KLWN Lawrence. Again, Fox News Radio is next.
Greg Dollum, Mazda Sales Manager, Laird Noller Automotive in Lawrence, Kansas. Come see me for your best deal or we'll give you $10,000. Nobody beats a Laird Noller deal.
Your new home is waiting at one of the Cherry Hill properties. It's all about your